Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 11, Text Number 16. Na Yavad Etan Mana Atma Lingam Samsara Tapavapanam Janasya Yach Choka Mahamaya Raga Loba Vairanubandham Mamatam Vidate Nayava Etan Mana Atmalingam Samsarata Pavapanam Janasya Yaschoka Mahamaya Raga Loba Vairanubandham Mamatam Vidate Nayavad Etan Mana Atmalingam Samsarata Pavapanam Janasya Yaschoka Mahamaya Raga Loba Vairanubandham Mamatam Vidate Ladies. Not. Yavat, as long as. Etat, this. Mana, mind. Atmalingam, existing as the false designation of the soul. Samsara tapa, of the miseries of this material world. Avapanam, the growing ground. Janasya, of the living being. Yat, which. Shoka, of lamentation. Moha, of illusion. Amaya, of disease. Raga, of attachment. Loba, of greed. Vaira, of enmity. Anubandham, the consequence. Mamatam, the sense of ownership. Vidate, gives. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The soul's designation, the mind, is the cause of all tribulations in the material world. As long as this fact is unknown to the conditioned living entity, he has to accept the miserable condition of the material body and wander within this universe in different positions. Because the mind is affected by disease, lamentation, illusion, attachment, greed, and enmity, it creates bondage and a false sense of intimacy within this material world. Purport. The mind is the cause of both material bondage and liberation. The impure mind thinks, quote, I am this body, end of quote. The pure mind knows that he is not the material body. Therefore, the mind is considered to be the root of all material designations. Until the living entity is aloof from the association contaminations of this material world, the mind will be absorbed in such material things as birth, death, disease, illusion, attachment, greed, and enmity. In this way, the living entity is conditioned and he suffers material miseries. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gnanjana Shalaka Chakshu Ummilitam Jinatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Panchakalpa Trubhyasya Kripa Sindhavavita Paritanam Pabhanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Siva Sri Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. This will be a very short class today. For a lot of reasons. All right. So in the last several chapters, actually going back chapters, we've been studying here about Jat Bharat and kind of have to get myself familiar here a little bit. Yes, so we've been studying here the instructions of Jat Bharat, and of course we've also been reading about the pastimes of Jat Bharat as being a avadut, completely liberated soul. We heard also several times about Nitya Bada and Jivan Mukha, the Nitya Bada, the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul, Nitya Bada, can only become liberated when we control the mind. Controlling the mind, of course, is very difficult, as we read in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna. He tells Krishna that the mind is harder to control than the wind. So this mind, as we're reading here, is the cause of bondage, illusion. And this illusion, when we relate to this illusion, thinking we're this material body, so many consequences that are there. So if the mind is trained to surrender at the lotus feet of the Lord, then the soul can be liberated even though living within this material world. And this is actually the real essence of Krishna consciousness, is to control the mind and to be absorbed in the service of the Lord. And in that way, we become liberated. So this is not a this is not an easy thing to accomplish. I think that Prabhupada described some time back, a few days ago, that the conditioned state and liberated state are like, the conditioned state is like sleeping, and the liberated state is like an awakening. So when one is sleeping, one is in a dreaming state. One dreams of so many phantasmagorias. And in that dream, we become fully absorbed, and we believe that this is actually true, and it's actually happening. And Prabhupada says that if it's a nightmare, and we've all experienced it, When you have a nightmare, it's so horrible that you wake up in complete fear and anxiety. And sometimes that can be so real that sometimes for the rest of the evening, you can't even sleep. It can create such stress and such reality. So this is the conditioned soul. And we see that the liberated soul is like daytime, meaning in the daytime, we're in awakened state. We're not in that sleeping slumber. So Krishna consciousness can help us awaken from this deep slumber, this deep sleep of illusion and material existence. But it takes great effort. It's described that in this material world, to engage in Krishna's service is a very rare opportunity. And that rare opportunity, if squandered, if somehow or other we squander that opportunity, then we lose this chance after many, many, many births and deaths. So it's imperative upon us to really take advantage of the instructions given to us by Jat Bharat, especially those to King Rahugana. What an appropriate pastime, because Jat Bharat is the complete renunciate, avadut, and we see King Rahugana, who's in the epitome, the utmost top-notch position that one can possibly be a king. We can just imagine the opulence and the service that a king receives. And we see that they're so opposite. And here, it's so appropriate because we think in this material world that we're very opulent. We think, we believe. Prabhupada says that even a pauper is proud of his penny, which means that because we're so much absorbed on a bodily platform of life, even though we may be suffering terribly, materially or spiritually, we're suffering terribly, but still we think that we're somehow enjoying. And this enjoyment, Papa gave an example of how sometimes to torture a person, what they would do is tie him on a chair, on a long pole, and they would have a vat of water underneath him. And they would dunk him into the water. And this was torture. And just before they're ready to drown, they would let this person come up from this vat of water. And they would take this deep breath, and they would actually think, oh my God, I'm saved. This is so amazing. I'm able to breathe. And they're thinking they're enjoying. So this is the material world. The material world is such that we get put in the most miserable conditions. And sometimes we get some small relief, some little tinge of so-called happiness. And immediately we think everything's okay. Immediately we want to forget any of the horrible conditions that may have existed up to that point. And we might even want to completely forget the horrible condition that we were in. Just like all of us can remember some horrible condition that we experienced in our life. And if you've ever experienced a situation where you could have died, when that thought comes back into your mind, it creates this incredible amount of fear. I myself experienced almost something like that, a death. It could have happened. And just by Krishna's arrangement, he allowed me to live. It would have been a very severe situation where I probably would not have been recognized if the incident would have happened. And periodically, I think about that. And when that thought comes within my mind, it instills great fear, a lot of anxiety and fear of what could have happened. So this fear, this illusion, all these are the bodily platform of life because of our attachment. And we see that all this fear and illusion, it begins with the mind, within the mind. Just like even for this desire of sex life, Srila Prabhupada said it begins in the mind. When we dwell on it, about sex life, the association of the opposite sex, it begins there. And from that point, then the bodily functions happen. So the mind is really a very dangerous thing. And the only way to control it is actually to engage in Krishna service. This is the only way. When we become fully absorbed in devotional service, we won't have time to think about or engage in sense gratification. It's only when we're not fully absorbed that these thoughts of enjoyment, past bodily activities, come they can even become very prominent. They can become so prominent that one can even lose their desire to carry on or execute devotional service. We've seen it happen to so many devotees, so many sincere devotees that practice Krishna consciousness for many, many years, chanting nicely, doing service. But we see that the minute they slacken, or the minute we slacken on our devotional service, then we see that more and more we become enthralled or even again, captured by Maya, by the illusion. So, devotional service to Krishna, bhat yamam avijananti yavan yastasvitatvataha, this is the only way we can know Krishna. There's no other way. Sometimes we try to think that there is. Just like before this Srimad Bhagavatam, this canto came out, I thought that Krishna consciousness was nothing but chanting and dancing and feasting. But I remember when this fifth canto came out, and then we started reading about the hellish planets, and I became horrified. I never, up to that point, I don't think I really knew that there was such a thing in Krishna consciousness as a hellish planet where you could get sown, you know, you had to drink molten lead or gold or whatever it was, molten lead. I just couldn't conceive there was anything like that. And when this canto came out, I was completely stunned. And I was a little bit scared of my position. And how if I don't take up Krishna consciousness and I don't become serious in the execution of Krishna consciousness, I could end up being one of those where's that when you get on a rack and they sew you into the rack? That would probably be my condition. I would be sewn by these hot lead threading. Or there's one that you go up a mountain and I believe that there's some very razor sharp rock or something. Can't remember, I haven't read it for a while, purposefully though. But I do know that you, as you're going up, you have to face all these kinds of difficulties. And then you get thrown down from that mountain and all your bones break. And then you go back up again and you're thrown down and your bones break. And you go like this continuously. And Srila Prabhupada said that in the on that level, the soul is thinking that this is eternal. But Prabhupada said that this activity lasts not very long. I believe that he said something like 3 months. This is how long this actually happens. Although in the middle of it, we're thinking that it's eternal. But the soul has to go through this suffering. And the reason that the soul goes through this suffering is because the mind is there with him. The mind goes with you when you're suffering in these hellish planets. And the mind is the one that's absorbed in all this pain that you think you're suffering. Because the soul is attracted to that mind. So we see that in Krishna consciousness, it's imperative that we control the mind so that at the time of death, we'll be able to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the execution of Krishna consciousness, especially in the temple. Lately, I've been doing some reading in the first canto, and it's amazing how Prabhupada, he gives so many wonderful solutions to execution of Krishna consciousness. Like a very simple thing, Prabhupada made a comment in a purport that there's nothing more wonderful or powerful than chanting the holy names in front of Sri Sri Gaur Nitai. The benefits are immense. The benefits are unlimited. So if we just, that small little statement, it's so powerful in the sense that if you chant in front of Sri Sri Gaur Nitai and you dance in front of Sri Sri Gaur Nitai, the benefit is immense. What is that immense benefit? One can develop a taste for the holy name. One can actually develop a taste for chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is incredible. I was thinking how powerful that is, that Prabhupada gave us this opportunity to have a morning program. And just in front of the deities, by chanting the holy name, we can become purified. So, in reality, we'll remain nitya buddhas until we become liberated in controlling the mind. And that's part of the process. Part of the process is controlling the mind to come and chant in front of the deity of the Lord. You cannot express it enough. It's so important that just by doing that activity, one can become liberated. So, when we're reading this pastime here, we're hearing so many things for the last few days, especially concerning the mind here. I'm probably repeating several things that people have already said. Tomorrow is the last verse of this particular chapter. And Prabhupada states a lot of times, at least three or four times here, that the Supreme Lord is always with the living entity. Sarvasya cha ham hridi sannivisto matasmitya gyanam apohanam cha. And he gives one intelligence, forgetfulness, and remembrance. So, if we execute very nicely the process of Krishna consciousness, Krishna will give us the intelligence how to approach him, how to actually surrender to his lotus feet. And we see that as long as we're not surrendered, as long as we don't want to surrender, then it's very difficult for us. This is a very key element in Krishna consciousness, surrender. It's a very difficult thing to do, because when we execute Krishna consciousness, it seems like you have to surrender practically every moment. And we see that somehow or other, a test comes at any time. And we're always thinking, well, how can I surrender? What should I do to surrender? And still, it's very difficult to remember. You can read over and over and over again, but it's so hard to remember. What should I do? How should I surrender? How can I remember Krishna? I remember one time I was on a flight, and we were landing in Tokyo. And as the airplane was landing, it was a pretty rough landing. And as we were landing, I was in the by the window, and I was right there by the wing. And it was quite rough. It was one of those really rough ones where you didn't know which way you were gonna go. So as we were very close to the ground, I was looking out the window. And we were very close, and I was thinking, phew, thank Krishna that we're ready to land. And just as we were landing, there was something like 100 mile an hour winds. And so just as we were landing, the airplane got hit by a big wind, really heavy wind. And the whole airplane was shifting. And I was looking out the window, and to me, it looked like it was just inches from the ground, the wing. And at the last minute, the pilot was able to, like, completely gun the airplane. I mean, he just completely slammed all the engines, full throttle. And we took off again. And as we were climbing, the whole airplane was shaking. And I remember all of the, you know, the... oxygen masks. They all were coming out. Things were flying all over the place. The kitchen and where the stewardesses are, doors were flinging open. And finally, we got way up there. We got way up there again. And the guy that was sitting next to me, he made a very amazing comment. He said, "Man, for a minute there, I thought I was never going to see New York again." That was his comment. And I was a little... We both laughed, of course. And he was trying to be humorous, but, you know, we were probably both white as ghosts, I'm sure. But what was really funny was that when we were in that condition, I was so frozen with bewilderment. I can't even say I was scared. I was bewildered. I was in a state of complete shock, bewilderment. Like, this ain't happening. This is not really going on. It was just that, you know, state of real shock. But afterwards, I did happen to have an opportunity to start chanting. So the guy next to me was just looking at me. So I thought, well, I better start chanting here. And we didn't hear anything from the pilot for at least 5 minutes, 5 or 10 minutes. And we started circling and circling. And finally, the pilot says, "Well, we're low on fuel. And I've called up the, we don't know what our situation is. So we have to try again." He said, "I want everyone to really, sit, buckle tight. And as we're landing, bend forward." So we all had to, like, bend forward. This is what he told us to do. So we started going down, and it was the same thing. But this time it was a little bit more horrific because we just went through this thing. So, you know, can you imagine what we're going through? So all I could do, I was just starting to chant. I didn't care what was happening. So anyway, drop. It seemed like you're dropping 1,000 feet every time we drop. But it really probably wasn't that far. It was maybe a couple hundred feet. Maybe, I don't know, I'm speculating. But it seemed like you're really dropping a long way down. And then we dropped some more. Huh? Yeah, well, we might have been. So we were going all over the place, and as we were landing, we got hit again by this wind. But he was able to control it, and so the plane landed. And it was pretty amazing that at the end, everybody started whistling, and everybody was really happy, clapping. Everybody was really thankful that we landed. And right after that, everybody just went on their merry way. It was incredible. We went through all this whole experience. But immediately, the tendency was to immediately forget that experience, that pain, that suffering, because we don't want to remember. And that's the material world. The material world is such that we've gone through so much pain and suffering, but it's so horrifying to us that we don't want to remember it. We really want to forget. So we do everything we can to forget. And what we do to forget is immediately we engage in some sense gratification. I'm sure some people off that flight must have immediately gone to a bar. I'm certain of that. I know I went to the bathroom, but I do know that there are several people that definitely went to a bar to get a drink in order to calm their nerves down. Because it's a very amazing experience. Very amazing. So, unless we're really prepared, unless we're purified and really prepared, we'll think that this material world's okay. We'll think that, yes, there's a little bit of hardship, a little bit of trouble, but I'm still going to go for it. I'm still going to try to enjoy it. And this is the result. The result is that we have to suffer over and over again. And over again, we go through different horrific situations. So until we control the mind and think about the Supreme Lord and surrender to Him through the process of devotional service, we'll have to experience these horrific things continually, over and over, again and again, in so many different types of bodies. So it's imperative for us as devotees that have an opportunity to get out of the material world to not squander the opportunity, regardless of the difficulties, because there's always difficulties. And as you go on, the difficulties don't get less. The difficulties become more because the body is falling apart. And when you, if you're in youth now, you're at the height of your enjoyment of this material world. And how long does that last? If you think it could last for how many years? 30 years maybe? 25 years? What is that? That's practically nothing. In terms of that, I'm sitting here thinking, well, I might have 15 years to live. Maybe I might have 20. Can you imagine that you're at a point in your life where you're thinking, well, gee whiz, I may have 20 years to live. And at that point, I'll practically be like, you know, almost 80 years old. And what kind of enjoyment can there be? What can you possibly enjoy? It's just simply a struggle. So, you see, at this particular junction in life, if we don't take it seriously at a very beginning age, and all of us here, most of us I see are at least, you know, well, there's some 20s and 30s, but I see a lot of 40s and 50s. So how much longer have we got to go? Not much. And it could happen any time, just like Nakama was saying this morning about the devotee from Denver. Yeah, only 50 years old, maybe not even. Nice devotee, Krishna Arjun Das. Do you remember him? Yeah, very nice devotee. Danced a lot, really enjoyed coming to the Rath Yatra festival here. And after Mangalartik, and he led Mangalartik. What a fortunate condition that was in. He led the Mangalartik. And the next thing, heart attack. Finished that quickly. And all the things that we wanted to do or we are aspiring for, finished. So, for us, very good instruction by Jat Bharat, that no matter what your situation is, life is, whether you're a king or a pauper, it's imperative to take up this process or the science of Krishna consciousness sincerely, seriously. This is imperative. No question. And if we don't, then the alternative is a lot of suffering, a lot of pain. Regardless, you know, whether you're a devotee or non-devotee, but at least as a devotee, the suffering is there in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, the suffering is there for what? For some sense gratification, some temporary illusory desire or enjoyment. And it simply, in the end, it's all gone. Just like that. As fast as it came, it's gone. And this is the illusion, the moha. This is the illusion of the material world. It makes you think that you can become happy. It makes you think that there's some enjoyment for you. There is. Not to say that there's no enjoyment. There is. But the cost of that enjoyment is tremendous. It's tremendous. Just like sex life, it's the highest pleasure in the material world. And for the purpose of sex life, we go through so much austerity. You know, in a really loving way, one becomes very motivated. Okay, I want a wife and I like to have children. This is a really intense motivation. And with no consideration or understanding what it's going to bring. Just like they say, you know, you need to get a driver's license to drive a vehicle, to operate a motor car. And you need to take a test. But do they do that for people that get married? No. They don't give them a test. They let anybody get married and have sex life. And they produce so many children. And all this is a cause of so much suffering. There's so much suffering in that. And although it's a suffering, people are still, the father is telling the son, my dear son, get married, have a family, have children, have fun, get the gusto out of life. And in the meantime, he's completely suffering, thinking, when am I going to get rid of this woman? I can't take it another day here in this house. Get me out of here. But he tells his son, my dear son, my daughter, get married, have a lot of children. Really get the gusto out of life. You might find the right one. You are lucky. Maybe you're lucky you got the right one. So this is the illusion that goes on in the material world. And people strive so hard for it. And they suffer so intensely. And I'm only saying this because I'm experiencing this right now by speaking to a lot of customers and people that I know. And how much they're suffering. The economy, it's creating so much stress and anxiety. In household affairs, children are freaking out. They don't get an allowance anymore. You know, you can't buy your favorite toy. You know, they get frustrated at the parents, and they start, you know, jabbering at the parents. You know, in the fifth canto here, we're going to read about the forest of enjoyment, and that chapter is incredible. It talks about rats, you know, rodents, and it talks about insects. And all these things are applicable to the suffering of the conditioned living entity. And it's a really interesting chapter coming up. It's a little bit later on. But when we get to that particular point, it'll be amazing how it's described the sufferings of the living entity and how we're getting bitten by so many different animals and insects and bugs, and all these represent. It says that one that I remember right now, Titi was reading the purport to me yesterday, I believe, or day before. And in there I remember one, it said that the one receives a lot of pain from the persons who criticize you when you're not there, and they're compared to crickets. I thought that was pretty funny. You know, who can tolerate the sound of a cricket? Does anybody here like the cricket sound? The Bhagavatam compares the sound of a cricket to the criticism that one receives from people when he's not there or when she's not there. It's like a cricket. And can you imagine that somebody becomes attracted to the sound of the cricket? Just like if I was criticizing somebody and that other person that I'm speaking to was really interested in it, I'm speaking like a cricket and the person that's listening to me loves the sound of the cricket. This is the Bhagavatam. I thought that was very interesting. So when we get to this particular part, we'll be reading about ourselves and what who we are. All right, sorry. I'm a little under the weather, but at least I got all the time, right? I took up all the time. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.